All right, y'all ready? How many so happy as Shabbat? I can't tell y'all how happy I am. This is one of my favorite Shabbats tonight. I told my wife when I picked that airboat up today, I said, it's done. Thank you, God. I praise God for his goodness. So God always knows. See, he knows man because he creates man. And he knows that we're not supposed to do certain things. So he designed it that way. All we got to do is follow him. It's absolutely beautiful when you look at the word of God and you actually tell the Lord, I'm going to do what you said. Just do what he said. Our hardship comes when we fight him. And it's shocking how many things we fight him on. But as long as we fight, we never win. It looks like we win. It looks like we're okay. It catches up. It may not be today, but it catches up. Cause and effect will go into play, and we'll have some trouble. And so we don't want that. Amen? We want to make sure that we do what he said. And so I was sharing with Pastor Josh that when you look at the Word of God, just take his Word and start reading the Torah portions yourself. You read through the Torah portions. It's so fulfilling in your life. There's no possible way you want to do anything else. That's how fulfilling it is, because all the spots that you tried to fill other ways that you never could fill, this fills it for you. It's incredible. And so I'm so thankful for the Lord. I thank God for all of you here. I thank God that you're persistent in your passion to want to know more. And if you think I'm happy about it, Jehovah, he's so happy and so excited that people will have a willingness to want to hear from what he's got to say. How many want to know what he's got to say? I mean, I think it's so important. We ought to want to know what he has to say. And this is what he's telling. He's telling us what he has to say, and he wants us to respond to it. And so you can be tired. It energizes you. You can be sad. It makes you happy. You can be having trouble with relationship. It fixes relationship. That's what it does. It's absolutely incredible. You can be down in your finances. It'll show you how to get it right. And tonight is really going to focus on that. So everybody say, my finances are going to be right after tonight. Because it's not what we think it is. You say, I just need to work more. It's really not that. And I'm going to show you what it is. I need to be more consistent in what I give. It's really not that. This is not what you give. It's how you give. That's what it's all about. You draw the line on how you do it. That's what it's all about. Because the woman came and gave only a little. She was praised. Because she did it from her heart. And this tonight talks about a lot of that. So, I don't know, I might just do the whole Torah portion and just leave the rest to Pastor Josh and whoever's got Wednesday night. Just, I'll cover, hit, touch bases on a bunch of spots. I don't know what I'm going to do, but we'll figure it out. So, this is portion number 19 already. We're flying through it. Torah portion number 19, Teruma, Hebrew for gifted contribution or uplifted offering. Gifted contribution or uplifted offering. Exodus chapter 25, verse 1 through 27, verse 19. The half torch, 1 Kings 5, 26. Through 6:13. So our summary and the topics in the portion, the people of Israel are called upon to contribute 15 materials. 15 materials. Gold, silver, bronze, blue, purple, red dye, wool, flax, goat hair, animal skin, wood, olive oil, spices, and gems, out of which Elohim says to Moses, they shall make for me a sanctuary and I shall dwell amidst them. So what are you doing when you give right? What are you creating when you give right? What are you creating? A sanctuary so he can dwell. So you got to keep that in mind. Keep in mind that when you give, you're creating a sanctuary for him to dwell. Now, we know he says that our body is his temple now. So if my heart ain't right when I'm doing something, if my heart issue's there, and I can tell you, you ever heard people make these statements, we got to get to the heart of the matter? Because they're saying, we're talking about a lot of things, but we're not getting to the heart of the matter. What's the problem? Why are we having all these issues? We got to get to the heart of the problem. If you're having marital issues, and you just surface dealing with it, surface communication, you're going to keep those marital issues. But if you get to the heart of the problem, you can get through it. Amen? Same thing with serving God. We came from a life of sin, all of us. Every one of us here, we came from a life of sin. We were professional sinners. And this is what Jehovah says, I got to get to the heart of this matter. So I'm going to send my only begotten son and show them, and I'm going to give everything I can give for them right up front. I'm going to send a Savior for them. And this sacrifice, when he sacrificed, it's going to be their past sins, present sins, and future sins that I'll take care of. Now, could the blood of bulls and goats do past, present, and future sins all at one time? They couldn't take no sin away, bloods of bulls and goats. Remember that? Couldn't take no sins away. But he said, I'm going to give a sacrifice that'll fix it for them once and for all. So, what kind of God does that? A God that has compassion, that's just more compassion than we can describe, we can put in words to describe. And he does it from his heart. It's unconditional love. So in return, we got to do something. He takes us from a life of sin, and he said, now I want you to do something. What are we going to do? And so once we come and we've been rescued, remember, the boat called Grace pulls up and you out in the ocean, and you got no hope at all. He rescued you. Now you're on this boat, and he gives you the manual. He said, here's the manual. To be in this boat, you got to follow these instructions. So in English, when we translate it, the word instructions, which in Hebrew is Torah, we didn't use instructions. We use law. And law has a negative connotation. My wife made a point today because I was on my way home and I was coming through the school zone, and an 18-wheeler comes 60 miles an hour or better, flies through the school zone. I never seen him hit his taillights one bit. Cop sitting there with the lights on. He passed cop and all. So the truck that drives around, the police truck, went and pulled him over. And I told my wife, I said, I don't know if people's thinking. The louder lights are going on, cars, the cops there. He never stopped. So I'm looking in my rearview mirror, but he got him on shoulder. And Charlotte said, well, that's just how it is. If you give you 55, you want to do 65. If they give you 65, you want to do 75. If they give you 75, you want to do 85. Because we don't like law. Now, I'm saying that she said that. So don't tell me I said it. I'm repeating what she said. Because some of you don't like this message already. It's just something about it that what we give, what's the law, is just not quite enough. So we push it a little bit. And when you push it a little bit, and then another time you push it, don't be late for something because you're really pushing it, right? So I always tell myself, if you don't want to be late, get up earlier. You can't justify pushing it because you didn't wake up enough time. What is it? It's a hard thing. So anybody in here, we can look at each other and we can make excuse after excuse after excuse of why this and why that. But when you said no, I've talked to him, I can't talk no more, and you've talked to you can't talk no more, at the end of the day, the bottom line, we draw the line, it's nothing, none of those things we said. It's a heart issue. And so he's telling these people, he says, get ready, because I'm requiring you, I'm commanding you and giving instruction to you to bring a contribution. When you bring this contribution, he's asking for gold and silver. Now listen, did they have gold? He wouldn't ask them if they didn't have it. They had it. But listen, if you come from slavery and you got gold given to you because they pillaged them, the Mitzrayites, they pillaged them before they left. They went borrow everything. They weren't coming back. He sent them out with gold and silver and all this precious stuff. And you're about to go to a land. You're going to a spot where you're going to get your spot and pick it out and you're going to build your house. So you're saving all this stuff. So they've all been saving. And who's providing their meals for them? Jehovah. Who's providing their water from? Jehovah. They're not going to the store and buying it. They're saving everything. Now they're commercing. They have commerce between these tribes. They have commerce. They're having commerce. You got a farmer. He's farming vegetables and stuff. You need vegetables. You have lamb. You're commercing. So they're commercing. They could be exchange of currency, whatever. But people had stuff. And then God asked for that stuff. But in your mind, you already had a plan for it. You said, this is my savings for my house. Or this is for my new boat. Or this is for my new truck. Or whatever it is you're saving for. And then he asked for it. And sometimes the reason he does it, he's checking what? The heart. Because if I ask you before he asks you, who's the giver of all this stuff? Oh, it's the Lord. The Lord give this to me. It's the Lord. If it wouldn't be for the Lord, I wouldn't have none of this. And then God says, hey, give me it. Give it to me. Oh. I worked for this. I did this. And see, it becomes a heart issue. So he's asking Israel for all these things. And he says, it's the reason is to make me a sanctuary that I may dwell with you and be there with you. Very powerful. On the summit of Mount Sinai, Moses is given detailed instructions on how to construct this dwelling for Elohim so that it could be readily dismantled and transported and reassembled as the people journeyed in the desert. Now, this structure that he's asking them to build, this is not a permanent structure. It's temporary. So there's another thing that you got to deal with. I don't mind giving her something that I can see it being worthwhile, but this temporary stuff, I ain't giving her that. It's a hard issue. They weren't asked to examine what he told them to do. They was asked to give. He had been providing everything from their life. From the time they took their feet out the Passover protective door, the threshold, and they walked out to leave Mitzrayim, Jehovah had provided everything for them. Everything. And now he's asking, I need you to give. Now, he checks the heart, and we'll get into that. I don't know if I'm going to get there, but I better quit talking. So, this is a temporary thing. So it's going to be, we don't mind doing stuff, but we want to know all the details about it. We want to know why you're doing this and why you're doing that. And sometimes we ask more questions than we need to. And then we wind up going ahead and doing it anyway. And does it count when you go ahead and do it anyway? That would be getting your head going like that. What that means? No, it don't count. So how many what would you do count? Well, I did it, but that don't count. I just want you to understand that. There's no count in that. And what he's asking them is not for tithe. It's not nothing to do with tithe. This is the contribution specifically for the purpose of building the sanctuary. Very important. In the sanctuary, the inner chamber behind the artistically woven curtain was the ark containing tablets of testimonies engraved with the Ten Commandments. On the ark's cover stood two winged cherubims hammered out of pure gold. In the outer chamber stood the seven-branch menorah, and the table upon which the showbread was arranged. The sanctuary's three walls were fitted together from 48 upright wooden boards, each of which was overlaid with gold and held up by a pair of silver foundation sockets. The roof was formed of three layers of covering, tapestries and multicolored wool, linen, a covering made of goat hair, a covering of ram and tash skin. Across the front of the sanctuary was an embroidered screen held up by five posts. Surrounding the sanctuary and the bronze-plated altar, which fronted it, was an enclosed linen hanging supported by 60 wooden posts with silver hooks and trimmings and reinforced bronze stakes. The whole layout in the parsha takes us from the start, starting with the Ark of the Most Holy Place, to the outer court with the altar of sacrifice and the gateway, the way, the back, and back to the Most Holy Place, all symbolizing different elements of Messiah and reveals Elohim's plan of salvation from the beginning. Now, what we're going to see as New Testament believers, Messianic believers, is that everything Yehovah is asking them to do, everything represents Messiah. So even if, and this is a big, big if, Yehovah was to say, the Torah is over, now you have Messiah, even just Messiah, if we took just his, we didn't do anything but follow his words, we'd be Torah keepers. Let me understand that. We would have never once drifted away from the Torah if we just did everything he said. We'd be Torah keepers. So we weren't, so did we do what he said? And so this is what we'll see in here. Every element that we see represents him every time. Every element represents Messiah. Very important. So he's the way and back to the most holy place, all symbolize the different elements of Messiah and reveals Elohim's plan of salvation from the beginning. And so we see this. Those with good eyes can see it. I can see it good on mine. I'm going to read it from here. So we, I don't have my pointer pointed out, but we'll start from the bottom down here. You see the at the top? With the top arrow, and we'll go to the bottom and work this circle, just like clockwise, okay? The word comes from God and is veiled to communicate with fallen man. What is it veiled with? The word is veiled with flesh. Hence, we have his son being born, growing up, and then starts to speak the words of Yehovah. Next, the word becomes the bread of life made flesh and shines as the light in the darkness, in this darkness, in this dark world. Messiah is anointed by the Spirit descending upon him at his mikvah baptism. And you notice each one of these things, he starts and winds up back, so it goes full circle as he laid this beautiful plan out for us, and this is the plan of salvation. Messiah is the lamb slain from the foundation of the world, atoning sacrifice for our sins. That's at the brazen altar. The mikvah is at the laver. The bread of life is at the table of showbread. And the word starts with Yehovah and ends with Yehovah. I mean, thank God for that. Listen, if Yeshua was not going to keep the righteous right rulings of Yehovah, his father, and not keep his commands, even though he came from Yehovah, he wouldn't wind up at Yehovah. Ask Adam. Who came from Yehovah? Did Adam come from Yehovah? Because he didn't keep the righteous right ruling, did he end up at Yehovah? But Yeshua did. He set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. Far above all principalities, powers, might, and dominion, every name that's named. That ought to tell us something. If we're going to follow Yeshua, we're going to do what he did. We're going to say what he said, and we're going to make sure that we performing the duties necessary. Because you say, do I have duties to perform? You'll see in the next couple of slides, we have duties to perform. We don't just get saved. We don't just get in a boat called grace and ride it for to eternity. That ain't what you do. There's going to be times that you're going to be given instructions on that boat to do something. If you had somebody who went to work with you, when I started working with my dad, I was just a little fella. I wanted to be out 3 times a day if I could. I wanted to be on that boat. But he wasn't giving me the wheel when I first went with him. He always said, you ain't killing me. But eventually, he said, you take the wheel. But it was because I stayed consistently going with him day after day and learning. I learned everything I learned from him. Everything that you see me do today, I learned from him. I didn't get it from nobody. I learned it from him. That's important. And so, how are we going to be successful? We got to learn from Yeshua. We learn from him. We do what he did. And so I would do what he did. When I watched what he did. I said, how you see in the dark? I was a little fella, you know, I'd say, I'd ask you something. How you see in the dark? It was just, you know, I couldn't figure out. We come all the way home, he ain't put no light on, and it's dark. I'm trying to figure out how he can see in the dark, and I couldn't. He said, well, when you're running, you see a light in the distance, the light's going to make a glare on the water. And you'll be able to tell if something crosses that glare, if something's in front of you. Well, I never knew that if he wouldn't have told me that. And I used that many times in my life. And that's what Yeshua does. He's trying to tell us, says, look, if you want to be successful, when everything's coming against you, you know what you got to do? You got to get away somewhere and pray. Pray to Yehovah and call out to him and he'll strengthen you. If I don't learn that and do that, you think I'm going to have the success he had? I won't have it. We have to do what he said. Very important. So as we get on this boat called grace, he's expecting us to be growing. You're not riding forever. Some people been going to church for a long time, and they're still in the elementary phases of learning. Because when we get to teaching, folks have an issue with teaching. And we shouldn't have an issue with it. I was giving him an example of one that happened to me. I got some of the most strangest calls and invitations to go do stuff just out of the blue. Anyway, I'm teaching at this church, and I'm reading this 2 Corinthians passage that's in the Torah portion. That's what reminded me of it. And I was talking about giving, and don't be a compulsory giver, I said. Well, I said that, and it got quiet. And the pastor's on the stage with me. He said, hey, brother, we don't know what compulsory giving is. You got to explain that. And I said to myself, okay, this is simple. Compulsory giving. Well, I'm saying it's simple because I knew what it meant. But maybe you don't even know what it means. When in the scriptures version it says, we don't give of necessity. Out of necessity. But you never had an intent from your heart to give anyway. But because Brother Troy had an intent in his heart, he reached in his pocket. We're talking about he felt it in his heart, just what the Lord told me is what I'm doing. He pulled out a 10 and he put his 10. So you seen his 10 and you said, I'm going to do 20. So that puts me somewhere. You gave the 20, but it didn't put you nowhere. That's compulsory giving. He's trying to get your heart right. He's not trying to get you $20. You understand? And that's where we go wrong. So we're looking around. Remember, I don't have a cup. You get that cup and you're watching that cup. Not watching everybody else. You get your heart right and you realize that you got to serve him. You got to be the one that he's going to say eventually, hey, can you hold the wheel for a little while? He does that to every man in this room. I've been taking care of your family for a long time. It's time for you to step up. I need you to pray, call out their names and pray for them. I need you to call their names before the Father. Are you going to be ready to do that? It's our job. That's what we should have been learning because that's what he did. He was the master at it. And so when we accept God's gift of salvation by faith in Messiah, sacrifice, we repent of our sins and follow Messiah's example of cleansing through mikvah baptism, become a new creature and a part of his bride, Israel, to live a pure life. The reason we went through this process, because there's a mission before us. There's an assignment. How many ready for your assignment? You know, when you get in the military, you go through basic training first. They start to train you on how to follow rules and regulations. When they tell you to sit, you sit. They tell you to stand, you stand. They tell you to do push-ups, you do them until they tell you to quit. They're going to train you first. Then listen to what they say. And then you're not going alone, you're going alone. All of a sudden, an alarm goes off, and now you have an assignment. Your assignment is to go to another country and fight this war. That's your assignment. Well, you didn't like it when you had to sit, when you didn't want to sit. You didn't like it when you had to push up, when you didn't want to. But when you got over in your assignment, you're so glad you went through all that. And so what happens is, we got to get our assignment, and we got to know the details of our assignment. We realize that we got to pick the pace up, because we can't be lagging. Especially if you're here and you got lost children. Your children's lost. You got to be praying for your children. Praying for them every day. That their eyes are open. Eyes to see, ears to hear, and a heart to know you. Lord, I thank you. I pray the high priestly prayer over them every day. Don't matter how grown they are. You say they grown, they out of my head. I ain't got to worry about them. You got to worry about them. Remember that. You got to worry about them. If you want your children to honor father and mother, you make sure you be a mother and a father to them till they die. Amen? Because that's important. If you're not calling the name out, don't expect the next guy to be doing it. You're the closest thing to them. We are called to be a light to the world. That represents the menorah. See it? And then the word sanctified us, perfects us, and helps us return to the Father. The word sanctifies us, perfects us, and helps us return to the Father. We start with the Father, and we wind up with the Father if we follow in the Torah. So if somebody gives me the map, and they said, this map will take you all, you'll get to where you need to be, this location. Where you're leaving from, you get back. You'll not get lost along the way. Some people say, well, if I'm coming right back here, I don't want to go nowhere. I'll just stay right here. That's easy. Let everybody else bear the burden, but I don't want to do anything. I'm just going to stay right here. I'm going to just stay with the Father. That'd be like your children. You know, they're 50 years old and you got them by the hand. Like, come on. Put your step, going out the step. You're going to take them out the door. And you're going to lock the door and you say, you ain't coming back in. You're 50. Put, there you go. Right then. With the next foot. The next foot. There you go. Right there. Huh? The next foot. And you say, honey, get ready. Get ready to close the door. They get to the bottom step, you push them in the ground, you run inside. It's time for you to go do stuff on your own. Is that not what God's trying to tell the church? Sometimes I feel like that. I feel like that with some of you. Come on. There you go. It's time that we get our assignment. Is that okay? Is it okay for me to talk this way? It's time to get our assignment, and everybody, can everybody doing their thing, their way, it's hard to get anywhere. But I have an assignment. I shared part of that assignment with Pastor Josh, and I believe with every part of my being, there's no doubt in my mind that it's going to happen. God, we're training, we're preparing right now. So you got to pay attention. You got to watch. I'm watching him. I'm watching every move he makes. I'm watching when it's raining, when it's dark, when it's in the fog. I'm watching everything he does because I want to learn. I'm not going to do it. I can't just. You don't just magically wake up and you're good. You went through some stuff. You went and you trialed and error. How many here ever run aground? Let me see your hand. You planted it. If you don't do that, you'll never know. We We've all been there, but we go around saying, boy, he planted it. Like we ain't never did it. But you know better next time not to go there when it's shallow. You learn some lessons. The way back to the Father is the path we take from going through the way, accepting the atoning sacrifice of the spotless Lamb of Elohim for our sin, called justification, which justifies the ungodly when accepted by faith, justification by faith. And we see that in the scripture. Paul talks about justification by faith. So we accept that by faith. How can we take a person who sinned all their life, like all of us, we've sinned all our lives, and all of a sudden, we're not a sinner? That's got to be by faith. It don't make sense to the mind. It don't make sense. But justification by faith. We believe that the work that Messiah did at Calvary is what brings us to it, just as if I not sinned. That's by faith. The labor symbolizes the cleansing as we seek to die to self. How many know we got to spend some time at the labor? The labor, you got to spend time there. You know why you spend time at the labor? It's like spending time in the mirror at your house. You spend time in the mirror and you go, I ain't seen that before. You start seeing stuff you never saw before. You keep looking and you look too long, you say, I give up. But it shows you real, what's real. Now you can buy these mirrors that they fake mirrors, you know. You can buy these mirrors. One time we went to this thing at Pontchartrain Beach. What is that called? Remember that amusement thing they had at Pontchartrain Beach? They had this building, you go in the house of mirrors. You walk in there, you go to the first mirror, and you were skinny. I mean, no matter how big you was, you were like a stick standing there. You go to the next mirror, your jaw come out real big. You go, man. You go to the next mirror, you're big, no matter how small you was. Sometimes we think we got those kind of mirrors. The mirrors that said, I'm good. You good? I'm good. I'm good. Knowing good and well, you ain't good. But we got those mirrors that are telling the stuff that's really not true. But the laver that we have, this tells us, what does he describe? Yaakov describes what the laver is. James says, when a man hears the word, which reflects his true character, and does the word. If he doesn't do the word, he's like one who looks at himself in a mirror and he forgets what man or person he is. So the word of God is what shows our character. We look at Yah and we see his character and we say, well, I'm not doing that. My attitude is not like his attitude. My approach to things is different than his. So then what do? We fix Yehovah? Said, now come on, Yehovah, you got to get with it. We don't fix him. We fix us. So what did Yeshua say? He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I'm just like you. You know, you ever heard people say this? They hadn't seen family in a while, and they say, that must be Jesse's boy right there. He's the splitting image of his daddy. You know, they'll say stuff like that. People will make comments. They'll see a person and say, I know that's Troy's kid. What they see? They see resemblance of the person. They see that. And so, Yeshua says, if you're looking at me, you're looking at the Father. He don't mean he was the Father. He says, I love what he loves, I hate what he hates, I do what he tells me to do, and I don't try to write the rules for me. I'm okay with him being the rule writer. I'm in his house, and I live by his rules. So if you've seen me, I'm the exact representation of the Father, because I don't want to change anything that he told me. Now, if we fine-tune our lives that way, you think that'll make a difference? you better believe it'll make a difference. So the label symbolizes our cleansing as we seek to die to self and false egos and cleansing our consciousness of the knowledge of sin. You don't know you got to cleanse your conscience if you don't know the sin is there. Sin can be there for a long time, but we don't even recognize it as sin. But the Word of God, we start reading it, and all of a sudden we go, man, I'm doing that. And it says not to do that. But I'm doing it, and I don't feel bad about what I'm doing. And so you can wrestle with that, and you can justify that behavior, but it still says you shouldn't do it. Now, who's right? Who's right? First of all, we've got to ask this one important question. Who gives us the right to decide what God wrote in His Word? And so that's what's happened over time. Over time, people didn't like everything that Yehovah put in His Word, so we start to change it a little bit at a time. I didn't bring my little tool, but I wish I'd have brought it. I bought a little child's game. Charlotte said, what's that when they come in? She said, what you up to now? You ever seen a child's game that you got the block? You put the block in the block square. The circle goes in a circle. And you try to fit the other. None of them fit. And the whole thing's full of those things. And none of, if you don't have the exact one that it looks like, it don't fit. None of them it'll fit in. So the other day as I was studying, the Lord said, this is what's the problem with the world. He said, the symbol, the peace, that represents me and everything I am and what I have commanded. And the little block, well, let's just use the block so we don't have to talk about them all because they're circles and diamonds and stars. But the block won't go in the block portion of it when you start adding stuff. So let's take, for example, I've added some things. I just think you don't have to do this. And so every time I add something, I got to put a piece of tape around the block. And before I know it, I got the block all taped up because we do this and we know God said do that, but we do this and we do that. And we know God said that, but we don't do that. We know we don't. He said not to eat this, but we eat it anyway. He said not to go serve me on this day and we don't do it. We do it the day we want to do it. You get my point? And every time you're doing something that he didn't say authorize, you got to add a piece of tape. So then you take that, now that part becomes you. That's who you are. That's your belief system. Will it fit? But how would it fit? How can we get it to fit? You got to peel back one piece of tape at a time and get over it until it fits again. Because, and that represents his eternity, spending time with him. You got to get in him. You got to be in him. Because we start with God, we got to end up with God. Now, sin has broken the trust with the Father. Hence, he had to take the ordinances that was written against us and nail them to the cross. That ordinance that was against us was death. That was the decree. That was the ordinance. You sin, you deserve death. That's an ordinance. It's given, it's decreed. There's no going back. You don't say, I changed the ordinance. Hold time out, I changed the ordinance. I'm changing the ordinance. There's no change in the ordinance. Somebody's got to die. Somebody's got to die that death. So he who knew no sin, does that do anything for you? Became sin. That he can take away the ordinance that was written against us away. And so I get emotional about this when I talk about it. I can't help it. Because I know how incredible it's been in our lives of what Yeshua has done for us. How he who knew no sin became sin. He didn't sin, but he became sin. He took our sin. And because of it, he died to death. He had to die. There was no way out of it for him. He had to die that death. And because he died, we can have a new covenant. We can have a renewed covenant. It can be written again. And he married us back. How many thank God for that? And so I want to be faithful to him. And I can tell you that there's been times in my life that I've been unfaithful to him. And you have to go before him and repent of that. You have to. When you see yourself being unfaithful, you go and repent. And I know that's a strange word in church ways today, repentance. The other day I was seeing this one of these I don't know if it was a congressman or some political person was quoting the scripture. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, then will I hear from heaven. And I said, oh, whoa, 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 buddy. You forgot a portion. You forgot something. You forgot turn from their wicked ways. He jumped that whole section, went to the next portion. That's the problem that we have. We always want to put a piece of tape around the square and we want it to fit into God. It don't fit. And God ain't going to change the square so it fits out of all our added things, our takeaways. He's not going to allow it. But we want to sound Christian. We want to sound like we're believers. But we want to do our own adding and taking away. The one thing he needed to leave in there is we have to turn from our wicked ways. We have to have teshuvah. We have to say, Lord, we're sorry. We've got to return back to the source. We've got to get back to God. And that's the whole part of Christ coming, to get us back to the Father. Amen? As we enter the holy place, we enter into the process of our spiritual growth and character development. Sanctification. Very important. Realizing first the need for the Spirit of truth, which leads us into all truth. Isaiah 8:20, John 16:13, and John 17:17. And shine through us and make us the menorah as a called out believer. Revelations 1:20. Secondly, spiritual bread symbolizes our need for the Torah instructions and how to love and draw near to Elohim, our fellow man. And thirdly, the altar of incense, which represents our need for righteousness, prayers to ascend as a fragrant aroma continually before the Holy One. And so we know that we don't have to do the fragrant part. It goes in the fragrance, all the stuff they had to bring, the sweet gums and all this stuff. But our prayers and our worship go up as a sweet fragrance to Him. And so this is not an option. This is command. Now, how would I bring that? A heart issue. Remember, it's all about the contribution. It's a heart issue. So we're not talking about just gold, silver, and bronze. We're not just talking about money. We're talking about worship. We're talking about attendance. We're talking about prayer and praise. All of those are contributions. Every bit of them are contributions. And if we don't do it with the proper heart, then how can he dwell there? How many want him to never leave? Once you feel that presence, you never want him to go. You have to continue to make those contributions. They have to be continual. Finally, after having Torah fully written upon our hearts and minds and fully transformed back into selflessly loving image of Elohim, Jeremiah 31:31-33, we can go through the veil and be at one with the Father in holiness and purity in the most holy place, us in Him and Him in us. Us in Him and Him in us. Now, to get Him in us, we have to have us in Him first. Remember that. We want Him in us. We want to keep doing what we're doing. And He said, I'm not riding in there. But when we get in Him, it brings a change, and then He can then be in us. Amen? So this is what we were getting to. So everything I just said is put in this picture. And I'm sorry for as big as I can get it. But again, we start at the bottom. Justification. God's love is seen in the atoning sacrifice of the Lamb. The atoning sacrifice of the Lamb. Who's the Lamb? What did John do when he looked up? He said, behold, the Lamb of God. The Word of God made Yeshua the sacrifice. Made Him the sacrifice. Behold, the Lamb of God. Turning our hearts to repentance and death to self. The heart has to repent. We have death to self. Because self will rule your life in a heartbeat. Self will rule your life. The biggest struggle every person has in life is self. I know I want it to be Pastor Josh. I got to be Scott. It's got to be Herman. That's not it. I can try to make that be it, but it's never going to be it. I don't care what anybody, and it don't matter what they do. It'll never be it. The biggest enemy we have is self. If you can get yourself under subjection, you can get along with anybody. Anybody. I don't care how obnoxious they are. It doesn't make a difference. Because when a person's acting in any certain way and it triggers something in you, that was in you before they acted the way they did. And God's just trying to get you to see you're not that different. Sure, you put your stuff on, a robe yours, and they're just raw. You robe yours good at Shabbat. You robe yours good with your tzitzits. You're not that different. So do we need justification? We all need that. You're not going to get to God without justification. Next. Not just justification, but justification by faith. That's belief and confession. What are we confessing? Our sin. We're sinners. We messed up. I did it. Not my wife, not my children. I did it. David said, I have sinned against you. Wasn't my family. Nobody made me do it. I did this. And I'm asking you, created me a what? A clean heart. It was a heart issue that caused him to do what he did. So his contribution that day to Jehovah rejected it. Even though he was King David. He said, I ain't accepting that type of praise. What is that? That's craziness. It was his heart, and he knew it. So what did he ask for, first of all? Created me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit in me. Don't get your spirit renewed till your heart gets right. Because your heart ain't ready to receive the renewed spirit. And so we see this happening in his life. Then we have baptism or cleansing, which is the justification by faith is at the laver. And so baptism and cleansing, belief and confession, again, is at that laver area. Then we go up a little bit and we got living by every word of God. Living by every word of God. How many want to live by every word of God? So do we throw away left of Matthew? I don't know how you do it. I was telling Pastor Josh today, I said, you know, once you just read through it, I don't know how you want to ever get rid of it. Because that's how good it is. But we have to live by every word of God. We live by what he said, and we believe what he says. So now we're at that curtain door, and then we got sanctification. Lighting of the Torah to the nations, the light of the Torah to the nations. The sanctification is on the level of the menorah, the golden altar, and the table of showbread. Those three right there is prayer with a righteous life, and the lighting of the Torah to the nations, and living by every word of God. The bread of life. That word is given to us. Called the bread of life is given to us. Then we have the menorah. We're the light of the world. And the golden altar is where the praise and the prayer ascend up before him. It's that sweet aroma that goes before him. Praise and prayer. Is prayer and praise the same thing? Pretty much. Same thing. Prayer and praise. And then we have the veil that is there. And then we got purification. Purification. At one with God in heaven, where only pure and holiness can dwell. So where is God now? In heaven. So at one with him, we have to make that connection. Where he's at, not him coming down and being where I am. The connection has to be made that the goal of the heart is to connect with him. Not, God, you have to come connect with me. I don't know what else to do. The moment you do all these other steps, you step in a different dimension, and you're still here, but then you've created a solid dwelling place for him. And he dwells in us by his Spirit. Remember, the set-apart Spirit dwells in us. And so, a lot of times we get this wrong, like somehow, I'm the way I am because God has to come and connect with me. He has to leave his place and come connect with me. That's never the intent of Scripture. Not God leaving his place to come and connect with us. He already sent his representative to come and connect with us. And that representative was Yeshua. And if we done what Yeshua said, we'd have a solid connection with Jehovah. We wouldn't still be feeling like, I don't feel connected. Something's not right. What is it? I can tell you, it's not your brother, not your sister, not your wife, not your husband, it's not your kids, not the job. It's none of those things. It's right here. It's the heart. The heart. And once we figure that out, it's so beautiful. Then your dreams will come back. Your visions will come back. You'll get your assignment straight when the heart gets right. And it's all about, that's the enemy wants to keep us in the darkness. He don't want us to know the assignment. He don't want to know all that training, all those years, all that Bible reading, all that studying. What was it for? You get that assignment, you'll know exactly what it's for. Now, I've been working on this all week. I hope you can tell. So let me just say this again. I said this last week. Telling the truth to a culture built on lies is an act of spiritual warfare. I'm not sure who said it first, but it bears repeating. Men are not women. Women are not men. Animals are not children. Living boyfriends and girlfriends are not spouses. The internet is not the local church. Words are not guns. Feelings are not facts. Creatures are not the creator. Jehovah is the answer. The gospel still has power. The blood still works. The Bible is still true. The church needs to be advancing by force, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. We should be advancing by force. We should be advancing by force. And the only reason I said it that way, and this needs to be, rather than the church is advancing, because I'm not going to say something we're not doing. We need to be advancing. And so we put that into action. Amen? This happens when we start getting that stuff that we just talked about all lined out. Now this is actually slide one. I'm going to read the scripture, and then maybe that's all we'll get. But I think enough was said. Get you started anyway. Get you motivated about where we got to look to get it right. Let me tell you, when you get your heart right, you're going to get a different attitude about your approach to God. You're not going to let the church is not going to dictate your relationship. The pastor don't dictate your relationship. It's your relationship. It's not, you don't get to God because of me. And I told Pastor Josh, it's like our job is to not, you didn't come here for me to give you a fish. You came here for me to teach you how to fish. If I give you a fish, you inspired. You go home petting your fish, and you get this all out, and you say, well, honey, we eating tonight. It was so good, we eating tonight. And you have you some fried fish, and you go to bed with a full stomach, and you're happy. And you come next Shabbat, and you're ready for your piece, your fish again, as long as somebody's providing it for you. But what if somebody says, you need to learn how to provide your own fish? Well, I don't know if I want that. That means I got to get up early. That means I got to pray. That means I got to learn how to keep my maintenance, my stuff, and keep it together. That means I got to buy a hook. That means I got to buy a rod and reel. That means I got to get bait. I got to get to the bait shop early. That means I got to say, Lord, where are we going today? What are we doing today? I got to have all those responsibilities, and I don't want those responsibilities. Come here. Come here. Put the foot in front of you. Come here. Next step, boom, shut the door. It is your responsibility. It's not mine. And when you get a hold of that, I'm telling you, it's all right here. It's nobody else. You can try to make it that, it's not. It's a heart issue. And he deals with that in this Torah portion, deals with it. Don't call it what it's not. It's the quickest way to get it. It's the quickest way to get it fixed is to quit denying you have the issue. Quit denying that there's a problem. Just to say, I got a problem, and I got to get it fixed. So let's read Exodus 25, verse number 1. It starts with what I love to see. And Yehovah spoke to Moshe, saying. So who spoke to him? If he spoke, we ought to be listening. He wasn't getting this secondhand. Yehovah spoke to Moshe. He meets him on the mountain. And all of a sudden, Yehovah starts speaking to him. Speak to the children of Israel. What did he tell Moshe? Speak to the children of Israel. That they take up a contribution for me. Wow. From everyone whose heart moves him, you shall take up my contribution. The heart has to move you. Does he want it if your heart don't move you? You can give it, but you don't want it. Did it help you in any way? Not a bit. Not a bit. That's why we can be doing a lot of things. We can be involved in church. We can go to the feast days. We can eat kosher. We can wear tzitzit. We can do all those things and not even help you. Because it's the heart. Maybe you're still here. You're doing it because I'm doing it. You're doing it because somebody else started doing it. You feel pressured to do it. You're a compulsive giver. That's compulsory. You're doing it because you feel pressured to do it. Not because you feel it in your heart. And you can't hide this from Yehovah. He knows. So I'm trying to help you today. Don't do it because somebody else is doing it. Don't do anything because somebody else is doing it. And I know it feels good, but you do it because you know that you see it in the Word for yourself. You saw it, and he dealt with you about it. You're going to make sure you make those changes. Now, here's the thing that you can't do. Well, I ain't doing it because the Lord ain't dealing with me about it yet. Well, that makes you just a plain liar. That's what that makes you. Because if you read what he said to do, and you say, well, he ain't dealt with me yet, what do you want him to knock you in the head? Put you in the ICU? Before you get it? If he said it, you should be doing it. That's why I say, read it for yourself. I'm giving you information, but you go read it and read it. And if you can see it different than what I'm telling you, then don't do it. But if he says, do this, then you should be doing that. You should be doing it. Because the Spirit of God is not dealing with everybody in different ways. God's Spirit is Yehovah himself. And he's dealt with us through his word. He says, these are the things I like and these are the things I don't like. And so I can go around using that excuse and you can use it for 20, 30 years. Well, he ain't ever convicted me of it. That don't even make sense. So it's a sin, but he didn't convict you of that sin, so you get to do that sin. Is that what we're standing on? Think about it. Did Yeshua die to put away that sin? For every person, across the board, if we just said did what he said, it would be so different. You remember Cain? Cain had a heart issue. He said, you can fix this. He's pleading with him. You can fix this if you want to. If not, I'm telling you, it's right at the door, and there's no turning around from it. It's there. It's going to take over you. But it was sin when he thought about the rock or whatever it was he used. It was sin when he touched the rock. It was sin when he picked the rock up. It was sin when he bashed his brother over the head with it. It was sin from the very beginning. It was his heart. And he could have fixed it, but he didn't. Because he was mad because God showed more favor to his brother than he did to him. Think about it. Everyone whose heart moves him, you should take up my contribution. And this is the contribution which you take up from them: gold, silver, and bronze, blue and purple, scarlet material, and fine linen, goat's hair, and ram's skin dyed red, fine leather, and acacia wood, oil for the light, spices for the anointing oil, and for the sweet incense. The Shoham stone, stones to be set in the shoulder garment, in the breastplate, and they shall make me a set apart place, and I shall dwell in their midst, according to all that I show you, the pattern of the dwelling place and the pattern of all its furnishings, make it exactly so. Notice that. Make it sort of like I'm telling you. You know, if it don't fit, it's okay. We'll waddle out the square for you. He said, make it exactly like I show you. Exactly. Then he goes into the Ark of the Covenant. They shall make an ark of acacia wood 2.5 cubits long, 1.5 cubits wide, and 1.5 cubits high. And you shall overlay it with clean gold. Inside and outside you shall overlay it. And you shall make on it a molding of gold all around. And you shall cast 4 rings of gold for it and put them in its 4 corners, 2 rings on one side and 2 rings on the other side. Notice the detail. He's giving them detail. Well, I know that's what he said, but what if I put 1 ring on one side, 3 rings on the other side? You can do that. You can do whatever you want. But is that what he said? And that's what people have decided to do. What if, I know that's what he said, but what if, you know, I've been thinking about this. You got to watch that your thinking brain don't override the heart that needs to be pure before him. Blessed are the pure in heart. They shall wind up with him, see him. Remember, it goes from him to see him. The pure in heart. So remember, we got the biggest work we have is getting our heart where it needs to be. So we bring the proper things to him, and we do it in the proper way. You might be doing it. You might be participating, but it may not be in the proper way. And I don't want you just to be participating, using up your energy, and it not getting you nowhere. It's not producing fruit in your life. You want it to produce fruit in your life? It will, when you're doing it his way, the way he prescribed, and you're doing it with the right heart attitude. And you shall make poles of acacia wood and overlay them with gold, and shall put the poles and the rings on the side of the ark to lift up the ark by them. And the poles are in the rings of the ark, and they are not taken from it. And to the ark you shall put the witness which I give you. And you shall make a lid of atonement of clean gold, 2.5 cubits long and 1.5 cubits wide. And you shall make 2 cherubim of gold, make them of beaten work at the 2 ends of the lid of the atonement. And make the cherub at one end, and on the other cherub at the other end, make the cherubims from the lid of atonement at its 2 ends. And the cherubim shall be spread out there. And they cherubim shall be spreading out their wings above, covering the lid of atonement with their wings, with their face toward each other, and face of the cherubims turned toward the lid of atonement. And you shall put the lid of atonement on top of the ark, and put into the ark the witness which I give you. And I shall meet with you there, and from above the lid of atonement, from between the 2 cherubims, which are on the ark of the witness, I shall speak to you all that which I command you concerning the children of Israel. And it goes in the table for bread. You shall make the table of acacia wood 2 cubits long, 1 cubit wide, and 1.5 cubits high. And you shall overlay it with clean gold, and shall make a molding of gold all around. Now, we already see they're going to need a lot of gold, right? So he's gonna expect them to bring their contributions out of their heart. And a contribution, you give a contribution, you don't turn around and say, I changed my mind, I want it back. You contributed. You gave a contribution. So if you get to the point where you want it back, you never gave it to begin with. That's what he's saying. Don't do that. As your heart moved, you moved in your heart, and it's not going to be exactly the same from every person. And we're not to look and see who gave what. It has nothing to do with that. This is not given so we can show out. This is given to him. Period. It's given to him. And that should be the same way with your praise, your prayer, and everything that you do. The Pharisees got in the habit of wanting to be seen giving. They wanted to be seen praying. They wanted to be heard praying. And so they lengthened their tzitzit long so they can be noticed coming down the street. It wasn't enough. So do we have a tour come in, tell us how long they're going to be? No, it don't tell us. It tells us the color, that's it. We don't tell us nothing about length. So they said, well, ain't no Torah. There's no command against us. I'm making mine. But why'd you make them that? It's a heart issue again. It's to make you a standout from somebody else. And is that what he's teaching us to do? Or he's teaching us to support each other and encourage one another? Not teaching us to stand out. And I shall make for it a rim of a handbreadth all around, and shall make a gold molding for the rim all around. So basically, it's a table, and it's got this rim all around. Yay high, hand high, all the way around. And you shall make for it four rings of gold, and put the rings on the four corners that are at its four legs. The rings are close to the rim as the holders for the poles to lift the table. And you shall make the poles of acacia wood and overlay them with gold, and the table shall be lifted with them. So when it's time to move, they just go in there and say, you grab that in, I got this in. Is that what they do? No, they know that there's poles there that was already put in, and they grab the pole. They don't touch the table. They grab the pole. The pole's there to carry the table. So he did this. All this has a reason for it. You shall make its dishes and its ladles and its jars and its bowls for pouring, make them of clean gold. And you shall put the showbread on the table before me continually. Continually. Very important statement there. And the golden lamp. And you shall make a lampstand of clean gold. A lampstand is made of beaten work. Now when it says clean gold, is that overlaid? Does that mean overlaid? No, that's just gold. Just gold, solid gold, burned it in the fire, and it comes out pure and make them solid. So there's certain portions of this had to be solid gold. Certain parts could be overlaid, like the poles, the table, the box for the ark had to be, but the lid had to be different. The cherubims had to be different. This is all pure gold. Think about that. Very important. And here he's talking about the utensils for the table that you use, all pure gold. And the lampstand, pure gold. Lampstand is made of beaten work, meaning it's not poured. You got a chunk of gold, and you're gonna chisel it away until you got this wonderful lampstand. Can you imagine that? Pure gold, beaten work. Its bases and its shafts, its cups and ornaments, knobs and blossoms are from it. So they didn't make a blossom and kind of welded on. This is all beaten work in there. It's made in it. So you got to start out with a chunk. We're talking about lots of money here. Expensive. Gold. Now to God, is that gold impress God? It don't impress God. He owns it all. He owns all the gold in the world. But they had this gold, and he said, I want you to make a contribution. I'm going to come and dwell with you, but you got to be a contributing factor here. We're going to meet each other. You know, if you got a deal going on, you're going to listen to the one side deal and you're going to give your terms and you meet somewhere in the middle. You might have to do a little adjustment. But, you know, he's got this deal going on. He says, this is what I'm going to do for you. Now, this is what I want you to do for me. Bring a contribution. Boy, let me tell you, faces change when you got to be the one giving the contribution. You don't mind the manna. You don't mind none of the provision. You don't mind the stuff that he's providing. You don't mind the water coming out of rock. You don't mind any of that. But the moment you got to contribute. Now, why did God need them to bring gold? If he owns all the gold, he could get gold wherever he wants. But he didn't want it from them. He wanted it to come directly from them. He provided their gold to them. They weren't paying them in gold all those years they were in slavery. They weren't paying them gold. You got your gold stacking up. But God was stacking it up. He was writing down every day, every hour. Don't worry, I got you covered. They ain't paying you, but I'm paying you. And he said, okay, now go get your payment. All in one big lump sum. That's what they did. They walk out of there. They basically took all their stuff. They didn't care about money at that point, Egypt. All their firstborns from animal to human life was dead. All they wanted was, you get out of here. And they took all that stuff. But God was adding up every time they worked. Yep, you owe them that. Yep, you owe them that. And they left with it. But then the whole time he's getting them ready. He says, okay, now you carrying it. You've been petting it all this time. You've been shining it up. Now I'm asking for a contribution. And that's where it gets a little tight. You start figuring out if we're really following him or not. Are we really in love with him or not? Do we really like his likes? Do we really like what he likes? Do we dislike what he dislikes? You start finding that out. Amen? Just like tonight. Tonight got a little squeezed every now and then. It gets a little tight for us. But if I said anything outside the bounds of what the scriptures instructing us in, this is why he gave them these instructions. He gave them to them for a reason. And we see that. You shall make the lampstand of beaten work, its bases and a shaft, and its cups of ornaments, knobs, and blossoms are from it. And six branches shall come out of its side, three branches of the lampstand out of one side, and three branches of the lampstand out of its other side. And so we see three out of one side, three out of the other side. Three cups made from almond, like almond flowers on one branch, with ornament knobs and blossoms, and three cups made like almond flowers on the other branch, with ornaments, knobs, and blossoms. So far, the six branches coming out of the lampstand. And by the way, if anybody wants the finest one that's made like this, we'll take it. In the meantime, we're going to accept this one as we're doing it the best we can. Just to let you, because some people get all caught up about that. Well, ours ain't like this one is. By all means, get us one as soon as you can. We'll take it. We'll accept that contribution. Just so you know, this one was almost 700. It ain't nothing like it. It ain't a lick of gold in that. Not one lick. So go ahead and bless the Lord if you want. Whatever you want to do. And on the lampstand itself are four cups made like almond flowers with ornamental knobs and blossoms. And the knobs under the first two branches of the same, and the knobs under the second two branches of the same, and the knobs under the third and two branches of the same, according to the six branches coming out of the lampstand. Their knobs and their branches are of the same. All of it is one beaten work of clean gold. Just the artistry of making it, we couldn't afford. Not to mention the gold. Just to make it. The cost and the amount of time it would take. But God raised up experts. They were among them. They were among them. And he walked up to them and said, I gave you an assignment. You have an assignment. Moses said, you have an assignment. This is your job. See, when you get your assignment, you get stirred up. You got no assignment, you don't know what to do. You got to say, Lord, what's my assignment? And you follow through with that. And you be faithful to it. And you shall make seven lamps for it, and they shall mount its lamps so that they give light in front of it. And its snuffers, their trays, are of clean gold. This is our snuffers. You see it? I'm holding it. You want to see your snuffer? Just hold your hand up like that. Take a good look at it. And his snuffers and his trays are of clean gold. It is made of a talent of gold, clean gold, with all its utensils. A talent of clean gold with all its utensils. Can you imagine that? So see and do according to the pattern which was shown to you on the mountain. Now, I want you to understand, he showed him a pattern on the mountain when he was up there. He gave him a vision of it. He let him look at it. He said, this is what it looks like. After he told him, this is what it looks like. So he said, do it according to what you saw. I showed it to you. So the Torah portion for this week, this is actually slide one. It's called Terumah. Strong's H8641, and means contribution, offering a gift, i.e., what is given or set aside as a special voluntary contribution to a person, deity, or cause in worship, either a whole or something, or a part. So does it mean it's all the same? So if the Lord comes to me and says, your contribution is this. Number one, I don't go and say, who else is doing what? This is done, settled. And you do the same. And he's never going to ask you for something you can't do. He's always going to ask you for something that you have the ability to get it done, and you ought to do it with a pure heart. Because then you got him moving for you. Then he's ready to step in. When he steps in, there's nothing you can't have a relationship or a partnership with anybody in the world that can do better than when he steps in. He becomes your partner. And I'd rather have him for a partner than anyone. You know, folk going around trying to start a business looking for the money man. I found him. I found the money man. He's faithful to me. He's been faithful every time. He's perfect. His ways, his dealings, his business dealings are perfect. He ain't out to hurt nobody. He ain't out to push nobody. He's a great business partner. He's the money man. Not only is the money man, he's the one that keeps you healthy. He keeps your mind, keeps your sanity. The other day I was going out and I said, God, I started crying. I said, I just want to thank you that my brain's working today. I woke up this morning and I could see with my eyes. Sometimes we forget the small things. We forget to tell them about this is important stuff. I can see with my eyes. I can see where I'm going. And there's some people that can't see today, but I can see. And I want to thank you for that. And I can hear. I can hear my motor humming. I can tell when it makes the slightest difference in sound. I can thank you. I want to thank you for that. And I just begin to thank him for all the things that I hadn't thanked him for a long time. I thanked him that I was able to smell. And I was able to taste. And I appreciated him for all those things. I said, Lord, it's only you. You're the one that did that. You're the one that caused it to be. Because if I'd have stayed in my sin, I could have lost one of these members. They could be gone. And I was able to get out of my bed and walk on my own 2 feet. I want to thank you that I can feel. And even though when you sometimes I get out and I'm feeling the pain, you can focus on the pain, and that's all you focus on. I'm hurting, it's my back, it's my this and my this. Or you can start thanking him that you actually get up. And it might have took you a little longer to put your britches on, but you got them on anyway. And your socks, you couldn't really get, but you got them on anyway. You got to thank him about the wonderful thing and quit focusing on the thing that's aching all the time. And he don't mind you saying it, but that's all you say. That's all you tell him. Thank him for what's going good. Turn the thing around and tell him how thankful you are of being so good to you and being so mindful of you. I started thanking him for my wife. I thanked him for my children. And then I sent my children the high priestly prayer. I sent it to him. I said, I'm going to send it to you periodically. I sent that prayer to him. I said, I want you to read it. I want you to meditate on how good God is and how wonderful he is. He's good to us. He deserves all the glory and all the praise. I can tell you, I'm excited about every day I get a chance to open up the Bible and look at his word. It's absolutely incredible. I'm good, brother. Thank you. Brother Rob about to put me CD number 2 in. But I appreciate. So there's, I pretty much covered the whole Torah. So it's a good one. But I just done highlights. Pastor Josh is gonna really lay it down in the morning. But I want to tell you how much I appreciate all of you, and I thank God for you being willing to listen to the Word of God. Just being attentive to the Word. Not listening to me, but listening to the Word. And letting the Word do the job that it wants to do in our lives. And He wants to do it in our lives every day. And you're not going to get better unless you make a conscious effort to press in. You got to press in. And that's what it means when we come out of justification, then we have to be sanctified. There are certain things that I used to do, I just ain't going to do no more. I'm being sanctified. And then what happens after sanctification is purification. It's, you're there. And that's what we all striving for, is to be there. And that's the wonderful thing. I better stop if I start message number two. God is good. Amen. Appreciate it. Anybody have prayer for anything?